This is Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne and Tiffany Brereton. Hello, everyone.
Hi, friends.
How are you all doing? We are so excited to be with you today on this very overcast day here for us.
You may get
this podcast when it's sunny and beautiful, or who knows when you're going to be listening to it. But here today, it's kind of overcast, kind of gray, but boy, we are excited. So this gray is doing nothing to damper us down at all.
That's just because Jen's a morning person. My coffee hasn't kicked all the way in yet. So.
But
I'll get there.
Honestly speaking, I am not usually a morning person, but I've been awake for a while and I have had coffee since. That's probably why I'm so chipper. I've got my caffeine kicking in.
Yes.
Going through my veins. That's kind of fun.
Speaking of veins, did you see that picture I posted on Facebook yesterday? Just a little update from our self-care episode.
I did.
Yeah. So yesterday I finally, well, I guess finally, I just, you know, made an appointment, but I got the iron and I have a few more infusions. So I'm hoping to feel better soon. So doing that self-care thing, making the appointments and hoping it pays off. So
yes,
all these wonderful pictures of Tiffany going up on the face.
So you got the iron infusions because you found out you were anemic, right? So,
Yes. So have you
in taking this iron infusion, and I'm sure there are plenty of people out there listening that have also, are also anemic.
Yeah.
Did it give you an immediate rush of feeling better?
It has not yet. And I don't think that's expected, at least for the first one. It's a series of five injections. So hopefully, you know, by two or three, I start feeling more energized.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm hoping so. So I'm off of my daily iron while I do this. So we'll see how this goes.
And for you, the symptom that got this going, in case there are other people out there like this, was you were exhausted, weren't you? Was that was the main symptom?
Yeah. And how I described it was like pregnancy tired. But crazy thing is when I was pregnant, I was anemic all the time. So maybe not everyone's that tired when they're pregnant, but I was because I was anemic. So, but what really was like a highlight from God is when I got up fast one day is I just started seeing stars. So I was like, something's just not right here. And my fingertips would turn white and be really cold because wasn't, you know, blood flowing through well and circulation and all that stuff. So there was some symptoms for you.
Wow. Wow.
Yes.
Well, I'm glad you got that diagnosed because I know you were concerned that it could be a lot of different things. Of course,
yeah.
Our minds go crazy when we have these weird symptoms. And if you may not be like me, but I'm one of these that is like a lot of people. It's like, okay, I'm going to jump on WebMD and try to figure out, match my symptoms to something. And I have to tell you, it always finds something fatal, you know, something really bad.
Right.
It's like, oh my gosh, I've got whatever it is. And so I need to not do that and just go straight to the expert and get the skinny. But yeah, the internet has made it.
Yeah, which is a great way to actually lead into today's subject. And today's subject is trust. And WebMD is not necessarily something we should trust. So.
No, because he'll be like all kind of like weirded out. He'd be like, oh my gosh, I've got this rare condition and I'm going to die tomorrow. And I, you know, oh my gosh. But yeah, I mean, information is good. Information is power. But when you can take it to some really bad places. But anyway.
Right. Yeah. And when Jen first mentioned the topic of trust this morning, I almost thought, what's the opposite of trust in my head? This is kind of how I played it through, was fear. So when we go on those sites or whatever to try to diagnose ourselves instead of going to our maker or what have you, like fear's winning. And it's really hard to trust when there's fear, So I have been there and I've done that when. And my husband was diagnosed with leukemia. The doctor specifically said, do not Google his diagnosis. And I, of course, did not listen. And I did and found out the survival rate was very low. So that really put a lot of fear in my heart from the get-go. And was really hard to trust that he was going to be okay for quite a while, so.
I tell you what, the internet can take you to all kind of bad places. And again, information is power, but it can also, too much of it without being able to discern it can take you in bad places.
So why did you want to talk about today's subject, Jen, and
Trust.
trust?
Well,
What's on your heart?
I'm just going to be very transparent here and just say, as of late, I've been really wrestling with trusting God. Now,
Okay.
I'll give you the caveat of it's an and in both. I trust him in some things and not in others. And I love the Lord. I love God. Nothing like him in the whole entire world, but I find myself at times struggling with trust with him. And so I think it's always really good to ask yourself when you're struggling with something, like, why? Why am I struggling? Like, really start to interrogate yourself to get down to the roots of why you're wrestling with a particular issue. And so for me, I sat down and said, okay, God, I recognize that I am struggling with trusting you in this particular situation, and it's a big situation. And I don't know why. I don't know why I'm struggling with trust, because God is big, right? God is all powerful. And so I started doing some research into just what trust was. And I did simple stuff like looking at the definition of trust and looking at or reading all these articles about trust. And it really kind of took me down a rabbit hole, but it was a good rabbit hole
Oh, good.
of what is it exactly about trust that I'm wrestling with God, and why? So, and I'm sure there are plenty of people out there. I mean, I think everyone wrestles with trusting God at different points in time
Right.
with different stuff, right?
I would imagine anyhow. If not, if you are one of those people that never have wrestled with it, we need to have you on the show and have a conversation with you because I need you all to virtually lay your hands on me
That's
so I
right.
never struggle with it again. So, anyway.
And so, interestingly enough, when I was doing the research into trust, I found out that there are different kinds of trust. And for me, I just saw trust as one big thing, one big blob. But again, like pulling it down to like its simplest forms, there's like situational trust, there's relational trust, and there's task-oriented trust. And I was like, oh, that just sounds so almost like psychobabble kind of thing. But digging into it, it's like when you're in a situation with somebody and you trust them to handle something, that's a different kind of trust than a relational trust, or like the kind of trust you have with your spouse. And I was like, okay, so there are these different levels of trust. So that helped me look at my relationship with God. And it's like, yes, I can trust him with like our relationship. I know it's a secure thing. I trust him. I know that I'm not gonna go to hell because I have accepted Jesus. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, so our relationship is good. I have that trust. I have that relational trust. And you can have a trust with someone about a task. This happens a lot at work. You may not trust that person relationally, or you might not trust them to even be situational, but if they have a task to do, you might have task-oriented trust with them. Like, I know that they're going to handle overseeing this part of the job. And so that broke it down even more. And so I was just trying to build back up and figure out where I was lacking in my trust with God. And interestingly enough, I love this so much because it, for me, it felt like an answer. One of the articles said that at its core, trust is about identity. It's about when you have the big trust, it's about trusting the identity of the other person and entrusting in your identity. And I thought, oh my gosh, that is so true. Like we talk about how we have to, you know, we understand how God is so complex. He has all these different names for all these different characteristics that he has. We learn who he is, and he's all powerful and he's all good. Like there's no darkness in him at all. He cannot lie, like all the things that makes God just awesome. And I was like, okay, so I got to understand his identity, and then I have to understand my identity too. And that, you know what, that just for me turned it all around. And it's like that's where I'm lacking. I'm not, I need to focus on the identity of who he is, the identity of who I am to him, right? And that really made it made so much of a difference in how I looked at God.
So I have a question for you.
Sure.
What name that of the Lord would you say, one of his identity names, would you say you struggle with the most? I have one. So I'll start and think about
Okay. Okay.
that. But for me, because of my past of my husband with cancer and praying for people for healings and maybe they never get healed, I really struggle with his name of Great Physician, because he does heal and we've seen him heal. We had a podcast about Damar Hamlin, and there was no doubt that the Lord healed Mr. Damar Hamlin. So I know that he does, but in my life, I haven't always been able to trust him in that way because of my circumstances, of course. So that's a name that I really struggle with to fully put 100% trust in. So is there something like that for you?
Probably a couple, but the biggest one that I struggle with is that he is the Lord of hosts. And the word host means army. And so when you look at it, it means that he is the general of an army, of an angelic army to fight. And I don't always feel like God fights for me. I struggle with that. He does now, mind you. Listeners, when you hear me say that, he does fight for me. Get that. Where I struggle is trusting that he fights for me. So I wrestle with that one.
And I understand that, especially knowing you well, very feelings girl. We've talked about that, in several episodes. And I understand, being in your feelings and stuff where that might not always feel like that. So that makes sense to me.
There are plenty of times that literally I've wrestled with the feelings of like I'm out on water on a little raft with no oars, and I'm like, ah, I'm all alone. I'm all alone. And you know, you had said it comes down to fear. That's just my fear speaking because that's how it feels. And I have to recognize that a lot of that comes from my childhood trauma. My childhood trauma has taught me over and over and over again that I cannot depend on anyone. Now, mind you, this is all lies, so I'm just going to like preface that, but
Right.
people cannot be trusted, that no authority figure is going to protect me, that I have to make my own way. If I don't, no one else will. Those are things that I learned from my childhood trauma. Now, God comes in and says, girl, that's not true.
Right.
I am for you. I always have you. You are in the palm of my hand. I will fight on your behalf. I have Romans 8:28 in effect. I will work all things for good. The whole reason for our podcast is plans, hope, and a future. Like, I've got you, girl.
Yeah.
I've got you.
Yeah.
All of your previous experiences, all of your previous masters, if you will, blow those guys away because they weren't, God says, they weren't me.
Yeah.
And I am the ultimate good, and I will have your back.
Yeah.
Still, I wrestle with that, but I recognize that's just old voices, old beliefs that I've had that I still wrestle with.
Right. So what, you know, as I'm listening to you, it sounds like, and I'm sure this is a common thing, maybe the root of that is not being able to surrender. You know, and I feel like that's probably, if I'm thinking about trusting, I feel like that would be the root for me as well, not being able to surrender because I'm still in control, right? So I am playing the role of the Messiah versus surrendering and giving God, you know, all of it and saying, I trust you completely. So, you know, that's, I'm a verbal processor, folks. So as Jen and I are talking, I feel like, you know, that's a word for me and Jen and for a lot of you out there, that that's maybe some of the root of it is of trust. You know, there's the other side of that is fear. And, you know, Jen had mentioned, and this is what I do, so it was kind of cool to hear, but Jen had mentioned that she kind of ask fear a question, if you will. And she says, you know, what's the worst thing that can happen? If, you know, if this fear comes to pass. And so that's what I do. Like, I'm like, if I am in a situation where someone asks me to do something and all of a sudden fears are popping up and I'm like, okay, well, I still want to do that. But the fear is louder than, you know, my trust right now. I really have to stop in that moment. And I have to say, you know, well, what if that does happen? What if it does happen that, you know, we get in a accident because we were going too fast or whatever the fear is screaming at the time. I have to say, you know, well, most accidents, I have to look at that. Most accidents aren't fatal. And God is for me, and he has me there too in that situation, which to me gives me the ability to kind of lay down all of the fear or some of the fear and surrender it and trust God in that circumstance and maybe do it afraid, but maybe even do it more confidently and trusting the Lord because, you know, I've spent some time looking at that and offering that to him, like, this is my fear. You know, this is really why I'm saying no. And I know Jen and I, you know, because of our trauma past, and I'm sure audience, you have struggled with this too. But, you know, it says in the word, like, what is it? Like 365 times, do not fear or something like that.
Yeah.
And so I know that God really wants us to not fear, but he knew he had to say it so much because of the world and the hurt. And it is, he knows it's hard to trust him because of the yuck around us. So I just wanted to put that out there as a tool because I heard Jen say it and I didn't know people did this, but I really have to like interview that fear and I have to dive into the fear and question it. Like, hold on.
Yeah,
you're not gonna take over my life.
Right.
What's the worst thing that could happen? And sometimes the worst thing that could happen might be death. Let's be real.
Yeah.
That could be the worst thing that could happen is death. And sometimes like, okay, well, that doesn't make any sense. You know, this isn't worth doing. But sometimes I come to the conclusion, and this is years of walking with the Lord and building relationships, so I wouldn't say that you might all of a sudden come to this conclusion, but okay, well, I'll get to meet my maker. But again, I want to say that that did not come overnight, and it doesn't always come to that conclusion, because I have children and things like that. But if we are fully trusting in the Lord, if we're fully trusting in the Lord in all areas and circumstances and all the things Jen's mentioned, then we can really lay down our fear and surrender and do it anyhow. And I think that is a sign of, do we trust him completely?
Well, and I do agree with all that, sure. And you're right. You do have to ask yourself the deep questions. You have to interrogate that fear, like, why am I feeling afraid or distrustful or whatever. So, when I did that in this particular situation, the thing that kind of took me down this rabbit hole, it gets into another issue of waiting. And so I. This situation that I'm in, I've been waiting for like a really long time, and God has been very quiet, but he just keeps telling me to wait. And there are doubts and fears that creep in, like just gonna keep it 100. I would say to myself, have I fooled myself in this situation? Did I really hear God in this situation? I've even gotten to moments where I've said, just for a second, like, what if God isn't real? I'm just gonna 100% say that. Because when you're afraid, when if God is being quiet in a situation and you're trying to trust him with the situation, like if you're not careful, all kinds of things creep in your head and all kinds of questions, like when it's quiet at night and maybe your spouse is asleep or your children are asleep and you have nothing but you and yourself and your thoughts and the Lord, and you're thinking, am I just speaking to the ceiling or is God really hearing me? Like, what's happening here? So it's a cocktail of issues that swirl around and we drink it and it becomes this thing. So for me, that's how this started was and I've had this plenty of times. I think we cycle through the same issues over and over again. And they tend to get quicker as we process them, until we're to the end of them. But in this case, it's just I started looking at why I didn't trust God and why I was getting so afraid in the waiting in this situation. And I know that all of this is for a purpose and a good, but man, man. Man, when those doubts and fears creep in, it's like a jackhammer. It's like a jackhammer to your faith. And it's like, oh, oh,
Yeah.
oh.
And I appreciate you saying like the vulnerable things that you shared, like, is God even real? Because I think, knowing the enemy, that would be something that's all in everyone's head occasionally, because messing with us, and as we've talked in past podcasts, I think that's why it's really important where we have those miracle moments or moment markers with the Lord, because we have the evidence that we can look back on and really combat that feeling pretty quickly. Like, well,
Amen.
duh, this is a fleeting moment, because of course I saw him show up in this day. There was no denying that was the Lord. Nothing else could have healed me in that way besides God. And so, but in walking in relationship with the Lord, that's why those moments are really important, because there is seasons where the Lord is quiet, or we're too busy that we don't hear the Lord, or what have you. But there are seasons as a Christian, you're not going to hear from him every day like we want to, because our heart and soul and our spirit yearns to hear from our maker, and that's honestly all we want. But in these quiet seasons, we really need those memory markers
Ooh, I like that.
so we can trust him more. And
Yeah,
I think
that's
these are
good.
purposeful moments, even, like to help build our trust, because I have found out, especially through some of the traumas, like being a widow in my 20s and stuff like that, that was a year after I got saved. And so me and the Lord had a crash course in trust, because it was me and my daughter. I was widowed. I had no income. And for that year, he allowed me to stay home with my kid and just grieve. And so the dependency on the Lord grew rapidly. And I really had a unique, in somewhat ways, great opportunity to really, he was it. Friends in my 20s, not all of them, but most of them just began to ghost me, because who in their 20s understands a widow and a mom? It's a lot. It's a
Yeah.
lot to relate to. It's a lot to know how to, I mean, I'm not faulting them, because that's a lot. So it was me and the Lord. And so our trust relationship did grow in that way, where I have a lot of those memory markers I can look back on and look at. I should have been in an institution in many of those moments, but because of the Lord and his what he did in that time and space, I can always look back on that. But that's just one thing. That's the beginning walk with the Lord. But it was such a crash course that if that was it, I could look back on the rest of my life. Of course, it's not. I have many, but that was the start.
I really like that memory markers or memorials. Like even in the Old Testament, God talked about to the children of Israel when these big things would happen, he would say, make a memorial. Like when they crossed over the or crossed through the Red Sea on dry land, he had them, each tribe take a stone and they built a memorial. They here's something to remember about a good thing I did, because I think God recognizes that we as people tend to not remember the good things. I don't know why. I don't know if it's that, bad things have such an emotional impact on us that we remember them so much more readily than we do good things. So I really love the memory markers, because that is, in essence, reminding yourself of the good things that God has done. Because what I tend to do, and maybe this is the enemy, when I'm in those dark moments where I'm looking at the ceiling in the dark of the night, I can literally hear in my head all the bad things that have happened in my life. Like, and I'm not going to list them out here, but I will do that so much more easily than, oh, God got me out of the small town in which I lived and brought me to a good place, a spacious place, a place that, I was able to grow and thrive, and I wouldn't have where I was, and just all of these things. Like, I need to make those memory markers more readily available.
And even like, Jen and I share a story quite often. So one of the tools that you kind of do when you sh begin to share your testimony is kind of write a timeline out. And the timeline is really centered around traumas, which is crazy, because that becomes our memory markers, our traumas. So I would love to even combat those things in future sharing of our stories. Is let's mark our trauma, sure, because that's part of, unique way of God has saved us from. But let's mark those memory markers too. Like, holy moly, this moment that I was healed by the Lord. Those are equally more important than the trauma, because the trauma is an afterthought. It's not who we are anymore. Now, here's who we are because of the Lord.
The identity. It gets back to the thing I first said at the start of this, that a lack of trust centers around a lack of knowing identity, either the other person's identity or your own. And I was like,
Amen.
oh, okay. But you were talking about the timeline. I wanted to mention a friend of mine did this, and I thought this was so brilliant. And I don't know why I just thought of this. She was
Just
challenged.
say it's God. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay. That's right. Yes. Yes. Point made. Anyway, so she did a timeline like a lot of people do, like marking out her life. And they told her when she was doing this in a group, put all the bad things on the bottom part of the line, as you're going, and put all the good things on the top part of the line. And she had, it very much was equal stuff. Like when she really thought about like the birth of my children and all of these different things that she marked. And I thought, that's brilliant. I don't know why I haven't thought about this before, except that it's God. But yeah,
Well, that actually just kind of gave me a vision, and I'll say it's not odd, but it's God as well.
not
But
odd, but it's God. I love it. That's a little key phrase.
my friend Christina says that, and I absolutely love it. But God just kind of gave me the visual of the heartbeat line, how that looks, how our heart beats. If you look at, like any images of our heartbeat, you'll see it goes up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. And just the same with our journey and our story and our life. Those, what you said, our markers go up and down, up and down, up and down. It's the beat of our heart. It's our journey here on earth.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of a cool visual that the Lord gave me, just the same as that timeline.
Yeah, that's
It's our
awesome.
heartbeat.
I love that. I love that. That is a great image. So
Yes, thank you, Lord. Look at, can
good.
you imagine if we trust God and give him our entire podcast, which folks is what we do here. We are not ever prepared in any way. Typically, I'm
We're
just gonna
not.
say it. When we get on here, we really just pray and we believe and trust that the Lord's gonna show up. And yet again, thank you, God, you did today here on this podcast. And thank you for the memory markers you have given Jen and I and our audience out there, because I know the Lord has showed up in your life in ways that maybe you can't even see today. So I just bless you all, audience, to see those ways today, to see those special circumstances that you thought would kill you if that relationship ended or that person died, or whatever it is, and how God has really redeemed your story in that way. So I'm just praying that you all have open eyes to see the Lord in your lives today, in all the good and all the bad ways.
Yes, agreed. Agreed. And we just bless you, folks. We
Amen.
bless you in your journey today. If you're listening to this, this was God ordained for you in this moment for whatever reason. And so we just pray that God continues to reveal to you things that he wants to do in your life in relation to trust. And yeah, I just pray this gets into your spirit, just like me. Now, what I'm telling you is also for me because this is what I've been wrestling with and this is my thing. And I know God is going to be faithful to complete the good work in me, like he says in his word. So,
Amen. It's for all of us. Let it be so, Lord. Be with
yes.
us today.
Yes. All right, guys. Well, with that, we're going to wrap up this episode of Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast. And thank you again for joining us. And I just want to give a shout out to our podcast sponsor, Jenny Becknell. Thank you, Jenny, for your sponsorship of the podcast. We love you. We love you. We love you.
Yes, we love you.
Yeah, we're going to just wrap it up at that.
Bye, friends.
See you guys.
You've been listening to the Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne and Tiffany Brereton. Podcast copyright 2022, Parable Road, LLC.